Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Chad Marquitz. We're your hosts for this weekend's edition. Also, your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report. This weekend show, we're going to be jumping around to a number of different sectors, trying to isolate maybe any opportunities that investors could have in a wide range of sectors that, unfortunately, it seems like pretty much everything is in a bit of a bear market. Energy, though, still continues to be the outperformer, although that's even started to pull back now, really, I think, just being taken with the rest of the markets and how weak everything has been, all with this backdrop of central banks continuing to tighten monetary policy. You take money out of the markets, well, markets seem to fall. We're kicking off this weekend show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, the real theme, it seems to be, of these markets, again, are bear markets across the board, and commentators trying to find these little relief rallies or counter trend moves, but it really doesn't seem to me like anybody's getting too bullish on the long side. How have you been playing these markets recently, where at least it seems like early on this month, we seem to be getting at least a little bounce in a lot of different sectors?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I think you hit it on the head. The theme of the past week or two has really been counter trend, whether it's stocks in which, you know, we're in a bear market, at least we would deem it a bear market. The bounce over the last week or so, I think it's just a counter trend, another bear market bounce. We don't see any evidence from any of our quantitative indicators or on the charts that this is, you know, more of a sustainable, durable, intermediate term rally or bull market. I think this is more or less a counter trend or mean reversion type of a bounce that we are more apt to be selling into or shorting into. And the same thing goes for some of the other asset classes. You had the monster rally in commodity related assets, inflation related assets. That is deflating. That trend is deflating right now. But in the longer term, from a longer term perspective, I don't think necessarily that that long term uptrend is over. I think this is a counter trend pullback. I think positioning got a little bit too extended. People got a little bit over leveraged. Some of the Johnny come latelys to the trend. Got in, started chasing the these markets too far, too fast, and the market's always going to punish you for that. So I think this is more or less a counter trend move there. And same thing with pullback in yields, bond yields. I think that's a counter trend pullback. I think while there might be more to go on the downside, I think longer term the trend is still higher. Overall, I think the trends, long-term trends, are still in place. On a shorter-term basis, I think the momentum in the near term is with those counter-trend moves until it shakes enough people out. And then once that happens, then we can resume that longer-term trend across the assets.
Yeah, it's an interesting market, Dana, because things that are in a new bear market, like the general equities, they're bouncing. Things that are in a longer-term secular bull market, like the commodities, they're correcting. Things like interest rates that are going up, as you mentioned, and probably will go up for some time if the bond bubble has burst, they're pulling back. So in these kind of counter-trend moves, what kind of actions are you taking? Are you playing it for the short blips, you know, to the upside in the stocks or shorting the commodities, or are you mostly to the sidelines? How are you approaching your portfolio management?
Just trying to be nimble, for one, not get too aggressive in these types of moves. As a manager that has that adopts a lot of trend following type of strategies, you're going to get dinged up a little bit in these types of moves when you're, say, buying the dips in an uptrend. And okay, those that key support level that you thought would be a good dip buying area, that prices just blew right through that. So you're going to get dinged a little bit in those times, but it's better to take your lumps once those areas are broken, blow out of those positions, wait for better positions to or better levels into which to re-enter the markets. So you got to be nimble. And like we talked about last, I think last time, you know, when you have these counter trend moves and this volatility, it's best to wait, and you don't have that type of clarity, best to wait for, you know, those fat pitches. Don't get too aggressive and too impatient in looking for something to buy. If you are, like we are in the commodity space, for example, you know, we're still longer term bulls. Right now, the counter trend momentum is obviously to the downside. Once some of those initial key support levels and many of those commodity markets were broken, then it became clear, okay, there's more momentum to the downside in this counter trend move than we thought there might be. So best to wait for more substantial support levels lower, be more patient for more of a fat pitch than you would be before, when every small dip was being bought and immediately rallying. So better be patient, wait for better, like I said, better pitches, fatter pitches to hit than being hyper aggressive in this type of environment. But being nimble, taking some surgical strikes here and there, while also being overall very defensive right now, I think is the best strategy to take in a market like this. Right now, for example, our model has about 50% in cash, so we've got a ton of cash waiting, you know, for the right opportunity. It is the most cash we've had probably in years after having a very opportunistic market for a couple of years. Got a lot of cash right now waiting to deploy, but trying to be patient in waiting for those opportunities to deploy it.
So cash continues to be really critical for investors because of the fact that it sounds like we might still see some broadly lower prices, but bounces along the way. Let's get into the commodities, starting off with energy, because energy really was the standout commodity, I think, recently, especially the oil price. That made a run up close to, I think, a little over 120, back down to about 100 now. The stocks, that's also been beneficial, where the stocks joined in on that rally and really went higher. They skyrocketed higher, have shown some weakness recently. What's your outlook for the energy sector, more specifically oil?
Yeah, generally the same as the comments I made in commodities in general. You know, I think longer term we're still in a bull market in the commodity space, including oil and including energy stocks. In the short term, we're in a pretty sharp, pretty violent type of a counter trend pullback. So I think, like I said, investor positioning got a little bit too skewed to the long side. So some of those latecomers are being punished right now. I think the momentum in the near term is still to the downside. So right now, while longer term we're still bulls in the space, I think that we'll see in the short term, I think we'll see lower prices below those recent lows of the last few days before we see potentially an ultimate bottom put in place for this counter trend pullback. But once that occurs, again, I think there's more upside to come in the long-term bull market there.
All right, Dana, we'll wrap it up here. Always interesting comments, and I always find it fascinating just how you are reading these markets. Big theme being we're still, it seems like, in bear markets with odd little relief rallies here and there, and bear markets, well, this one's already lasted pretty long, and we still haven't even had kind of that capitulation event. Dana, thanks for your time. As always, buddy, great chatting with you. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. We'll chat in another couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this second segment, I'm replaying just a short little snippet from a much longer conversation that Chad and I had with Dan Steffens earlier this week. The full interview was posted on Friday. Dan is our resident, let's call him energy expert, as he is the president of the Energy Prospectus Group. The part that I'm replaying for you is more the stock-specific stuff, but be sure to click on the weekend show posting for the whole interview with Dan, or that Friday posting where Dan takes us through some macro drivers around the energy, especially oil price, and then into some of these stocks that you're going to hear right now. Let's get into some of the stocks, because reading over your material, I really like how you have segregated your stocks into different types of portfolios. We're going to start with one of the more interesting to me, and that is the high yield dividend portfolio. So these are stocks that I believe you isolate that pay right around 10 or greater percent. There's a lot of stocks, it seems like, that are paying some pretty high dividend yields, especially after the fact that their stocks have even gone up pretty well. Take us through how you're viewing the overall health of, first of all, these dividend-paying stocks.
Yeah, for one thing, their balance sheets are in outstanding shape, and that's why I put them. So when I pick a company for our high-yield income portfolio, it is, number one, is their dividend sustainable? That's number one. And number two, I'm looking for companies that I believe are going to be able to raise dividends. And probably two-thirds of the companies in the portfolio, I think we have 13 now. Anyway, two-thirds of them, I believe, will be raising their dividends in the next couple quarters. The upstream companies I've moved in there, the largest one is Pioneer Natural Resources, and I was on an interview with the CEO of that company, and he said they're raising their dividend, and it will be a 15% annualized yield. And Pioneer is virtually debt-free. It's a, you know, $30, $40 billion market cap company, super strong balance sheet, lots of running room, and they can maintain their business plan is to have 5% annualized production growth year over year, and they can do that on a modest budget and still generate a lot of free cash flow that can pay dividends, buy back shares. They've already paid down their debt as much as they really need to. So that's probably the safest one on the list, as simple as PXD. And I've also moved Devon Energy in there. That's DVN, Diamondback Energy, FANG. You can remember, that's an easy one to remember, the symbol. If you look at Diamondback Energy, that's a true American success story. 5 or 6 years ago, nobody heard about that company, and now it is one of the best Permian Basin companies. And another one, now this one is more of a natural gas play. It's Coterra Energy, and it was created by the merger of Cimarex into Cabot Oil and Gas, and right after the merger, they changed the name of the company. But it, both of those companies have been around for decades, and a very, very solid management team on that one. And based on their last dividend, which is, it was 12.5% dividend yield, and now that the stock's pulled back a little bit, it's probably more like 15%. So all of those four companies should be paying out dividend, have dividend yield over 10% based on their current share. Now, I will tell your listeners, if you go look it up on Yahoo Finance or something, they have a dividend that's called a fixed plus variable dividend. And sometimes you look at the yield and the only thing shown on Yahoo or, you know, E-Trade or whatever may just be the fixed dividend. But, those variable dividends are very much locked in because they have such high cash flow.
Well, Dan, it sounds like the strength of the larger companies is there because, A, they're paying down the debt, they're paying these dividends, they're buying back shares. Seems like the health of the industry is maybe as good as it's been in a long time. But what about the smaller companies, maybe the smaller producers or the up-and-coming developers? What's your outlook on those companies and any that stick out to you?
Yeah, and we do have some small companies in the high-yield income portfolio that also have probably like 50% upside on them. But we have two other growth companies, and half of these companies also pay a dividend too. But they're more for growth. And that portfolio is trading for probably today about 150% below my current valuation for the portfolio. And I'm only valuing these companies at, you know, 5 to 8 times operating cash flow. And, you know, if you have a profitable company with a strong balance sheet and they have lots of running room, they have lots of low risk, high return drilling inventory, they should be trading for 8 to 10 times operating cash flow. The problem that we still are fighting with is just lack of confidence in the sector. I mean, you have some people still believing we're all going to be driving electric vehicles in the next couple of years and we're not going to need oil and gas. But I can tell you, I think this year in Europe was a rude awakening of how much this world still depends on, you know, hydrocarbon based fuels, and that's not going to change. So, you know, I for these, I'm really looking at growth and some of the smaller companies because they've been able to make some acquisitions and are going to, you know, have some. What I've seen recently is these public companies are able to buy out some of these private drilling companies, because what will happen in these private drilling companies, a lot of them are partnerships, and they'll go out and raise $50 to $100 million. They'll drill a bunch of wells, but they can't keep going back tapping. They can't keep going back asking their partners for more money. So their end game strategy is a lot of times just sell off the whole partnership. And so these partnerships add a bunch of undrilled locations. They have solid production and they're being picked up. One that was just announced a closing yesterday was Silver Bow Resources. And I really like this company. My valuation is like $90 on it. I think it's trading for under 35 now. The symbol is SBOW, and it's got a real balanced, production mix. They have a big gas discovery out in the western part of the Eagle Ford, out in Webb County, and it's for the size of this company, it's a really big deal. But they just closed two acquisitions that are going to significantly raise their production this quarter, and it's got real strong cash flow. So Silver Bow is one you can look at. We also have four what I would call gassers that get the majority of their revenue from natural gas. And even though natural gas is pulled, I know it spiked to like 9 and it's now below 6. But if you'd have told these companies at the beginning of the year that they could lock in $5 gas for the next couple of years, they would have just loved you and done it. But, you know, we got gas prices now up. Antero Resources, that's AR, Comstock, CRK. That's one to take a look at.
All right, out of time for this segment on the radio. But again, if you want to hear that full interview with Dan Steffens, click on the Friday posting or the weekend show posting on our website, kereport.com. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back to wrap up the show with Giant Vendari.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News. The White House says the release of basketball star Brittney Griner is a priority for President Biden.
Brittney Griner being held in Moscow, we believe the Federation is wrongfully, she's being wrongfully detained. This is an issue that is a priority for this president. She needs to come home. She should be home, as well as Paul Whelan, as well, who's being held, and any other U.S. nationals who is being wrongfully detained abroad.
Griner has pleaded guilty. The trial comes more than 4 months after the 31-year-old was detained at a Moscow airport after officials allegedly found vape cartridges containing hash oil, an illegal substance in Russia, in her luggage. If convicted on drug smuggling charges, Griner could face up to 10 years in a Russian prison. This is USA Radio News. A man from Florida is being convicted for helping ISIS.
A Florida man will spend 20 years in federal prison for attempting to provide material support to ISIS. The Justice Department announced Romeo Langhorne was sentenced in a case dating back to 2014. In his guilty plea, the 32-year-old man admitted to using social media accounts to voice his support for the terrorist group. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Roughly 300,000 children under the age of 5 years old have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. That's according to a senior Biden administration official. This data comes on the heels of a holiday weekend with lots of families traveling and not thinking about a trip to the pediatrician while on vacation. They're expecting that the data could increase in the weeks ahead, especially ahead of the school year. This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to shift our focus a little bit for the remainder of this show as we are chatting with Jayant Bhandari, private investor and consultant to a lot of well-known investors in the resource space. Now, Jayant, we're not going to belabor the point that the precious metal stocks and commodity stocks pretty much across the board are just getting hammered. We're going to follow up on a conversation we had about a month ago, featured again on a weekend show. We were talking about jurisdictions. We went through a number of jurisdictions, mostly focused in North America and bleeding a little bit into Mexico. That took up our whole time, so now we're going to shift our focus, continuing south in now South America, more Latin America. We have received a number of emails asking for some more thoughts on Australia, but we're working through that. In all fairness, we just don't isolate different areas in Australia all that much, but maybe we should. Let's get to Latin America, and let's start with Chile, because the recent news out of Chile regarding Rio 2, that essentially is having their project, I guess, shut down, or at least pretty heavily on pause here. This is putting a bit of hesitancy in investors even looking at projects in Chile, especially advanced projects. Now, Jayant, just outside of that Rio 2 news, how are you viewing Chile as a jurisdiction currently?
Well, so let me start with saying something politically incorrect, Corey. From whatever I have read, watched of Pinochet, I've always thought that he was something someone who did a lot of good to Chile. He made it possible for Chile to become one of the best countries in Latin America. Now, he was, of course, a dictator. He killed a lot of people. But given the alternatives that Chile had at that point of time, it seems to me that he was actually a good person, a decent person to have for what else was available. Now, he left in place a capitalist constitution for Chile, and that constitution is likely on its way out, which means that private property is not going to be as respected as it is now, and Chile will continue to lose its prominence as a destination for investors. I know several people who had moved to Chile about 10 years back, Canadians and American friends of mine who moved to Chile to live in Chile, and they are all back to North America today because they have started to realize that the bad elements in the society are starting to assert their power in that society. So that is, in my view, a big problem for Chile. It is no longer going to be a prime place to invest for investors, given that the current president is a leftist and the constitution is very likely to get seriously compromised over the next couple of years.
Yeah, Giant, it's kind of a mess. And what's interesting about Chile is it used to be, on the Fraser Institute, one of the best jurisdictions to operate in. But in February of this year, I mean, just in 2022, the Chile Assembly debated nationalizing their copper mines. And we've got some of the biggest copper mines on the planet operating in Chile. It's one of the number one countries for copper mining, BHP, Anglo American, Glencore, Antofagasta, big companies. And then just in July, they decided to change the taxes on copper mining and reform that system and the royalties. So it's one of those things where if they want foreign investment, they're doing a lot of things to crush any interest in foreign investment. And Peru is right on their tail. And we're seeing the same thing in Colombia and Ecuador. So when you look at Latin America, in particular South America, all of these leftist governments are now leaning towards nationalization, leaning towards higher taxation, and there's a lot of local groups and organized groups pushing back on new mines and permits. So what do you think of this trend we're seeing in Latin America?
Well, and this trend, Shad, will continue. Remember that America historically has been a force behind stopping degeneration of Latin America into leftism. Now America itself is becoming woke and leftist. So America no longer has either the intention or an interest to stop the slide of Latin America towards leftism and wokeism. And the end result will be that I cannot see how this degeneration towards leftism and wokeism in Latin America can be stopped right now.
That doesn't sound very positive for resource stocks or for investors looking for opportunities in Latin America. That sounds like money could pretty quickly dry up for a lot of these companies.
Not necessarily, Corey, because you always invest from the point of view of whether you can get a return from your investment. What you are going to do going forward is to pay less for those properties. And when you pay less for those properties, your profitability will be lower, but you will have paid much lower for those properties anyway. And that is how you invest in many of these countries in let's say, sub-Saharan Africa. So you just pay a lot lower price for those properties. Now, the local people and the government think that by being more difficult, they can extract more value from investors. But quite in contrast, what they end up doing is that they end up destroying values of the projects in their countries. But what can we do? We are offered lemon. We better make lemonade from it.
To your point, you know, a lot of times the West African companies trade at a huge discount to, let's say, North American companies, but a lot of their projects are moving forward. The trend I'm seeing personally when I look across the board in Latin America is their projects are not moving forward. They're not getting the mines built. And if a company comes in and spends $50 million, $100 million, several hundred million dollars and then gets their project blocked, it doesn't encourage new investment to come in. But we noted one thing off mic before we started recording that's interesting. The countries that were considered kind of the worst countries in Latin America, like your Argentinas or Brazils, don't look as bad as they once did. In fact, some of them have slight improvements compared to the countries that were the favored country is kind of falling. So is there just that teeter-totter where some countries are at their max optimism and they're going to naturally fall, and some are at their max pessimism and they can actually only go up from where they're at?
Well, Shad, I was talking with a company with a gold project in Brazil, and they were telling me that their profitability actually has improved with time because Brazilian currency has fallen a lot. Also, I completely agree with you that Argentina and Brazil, which did not look like good places to invest in, have, compared to other Latin American countries, started to look good. That is not necessarily because Argentina and Brazil have improved their profiles, but it's because these countries haven't really worsened much with time. Although I might add that I'm hearing that Bolsonaro might be on his way out in the next election, and if that happens, then Brazil could go very rapidly leftist again.
So the trend sounds like it's in the wrong direction. What about Colombia and their recent election? We've seen a lot of stocks that have been in Colombia. In all fairness, it seems like it's been very difficult to get really much work done on Colombian projects, but now with Petro elected, it seems like the attitude's even worse in Colombia.
Yes, and that could harm, I think, the early stage companies more than the mining companies themselves. At the end of the day, these leftist, communist, socialist dictators, they still want tax money. So if a company is producing and giving them taxes, they might let these companies continue to run. But moreover, there's always, these are, the communist leaders are not necessarily communist. They are always in bed with bad elements in the societies, and things continue to work the way they used to. And these communist dictators are usually not very skilled at imposing communism. They don't really understand how their society works, how the institutions work. So they are not in a position often to impose an immediate harm on companies that are actually producing, who are producing something right now. So I am less concerned about mining companies in Colombia, but I'm certainly more concerned about early stage companies in Colombia.
All right, Giant, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're having you back on next segment. We're going to keep talking jurisdictions, keep the focus in Latin America.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer. 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, we are continuing to chat with Jayant Bhandari, private investor and consultant, and we are continuing to focus on jurisdictional risk, mostly in Latin America. Now, Shad, you are up next, so take it away. Let's do this final segment for the weekend show.
Well, Jayant, what about a country like Ecuador, which had a terrible reputation, let's say, 10 years ago because they had reversed all of their mining codes, the same things we're seeing in Chile and Peru and Colombia right now. They had done all the wrong things, discouraged investment, but then they flipped the script and they turned into suggesting they were pro-mining and it was going to be a new government and new pro-mining stances. And that went well for a couple years, but the last couple years, it's kind of fallen on deaf ears. A lot of their projects have gotten stalled, blocked permits, and not just by the government. But in this particular question, how important is the social license? Because it's local organized groups, sometimes very well funded lobbyist groups, that are blocking these mines and causing a stir. There's riots going on and protests all over Ecuador right now. How important is for companies to get a handle on the social license?
Well, that is what exactly the problem seems to be in Ecuador, because the government seems to be in favor of mining companies going ahead, but many local tribes don't want that to happen. And that's where companies come in conflict with the locals, and locals don't allow these projects to get off the ground. But again, I am invested in a couple of companies in Ecuador. I think they are cheap enough that the risks have been discounted in the share prices of those companies. So I'm not worried too much about Ecuador right now, but always remember that Ecuador has historically been a leftist country. It has historically been a very backward country, and there's no way out for that society. It is going to continue to become a leftist country. But as an investor, I am only looking for the next 5 to 10 years.
So, Jayant, what do you look for in some of these countries, like especially Peru, where it seems like it can take forever to get drill permits, Ecuador, Colombia? They all seem to be going in the wrong direction. But if you're looking for investments over the next 5 to 10 years, what's critical in your eyes in terms of what companies have, whether it be permits, money, projects? What do you look for?
Well, so let's talk about, I'm not going to name that company in Colombia, but this company is a producing company, and the management are not the best management in the sector, but then they are in a position to twist the arms of political leaders to get their work done. They are in a position that politicians cannot really trouble this management too much. As a result, I feel better about that management, despite that I don't like the personalities in that management. The second thing I like is that how much tax they are paying. If they are paying a substantial amount of tax, it is very important for any kind of, whether it's leftist or conservative government, to continue to let those companies work, because they are getting a lot of tax money from those companies. Now, early stage companies don't benefit the government in terms of taxes, so they are the companies that can easily suffer. But my guess is that mining companies that are actually giving a good amount of taxes to the government should be all right.
Well, Jai, just along that line of thinking and sticking with the Latin American theme, when you go into Central America, most countries are completely uninvestable. If you're looking at Panama or El Salvador or Belize, you know, Costa Rica, nobody really wants to operate there. But there are two Central American countries, part of Latin American mining, and that's Guatemala and Nicaragua. And it seems like the tale of two countries, and one is, and it's really around this theme of taxes. In Nicaragua, there's two operating miners, Mako Mining and Caliber Mining, that are doing great. They're generating taxes, and the government's permitting them quickly. They're getting their projects going quickly. In contrast, Guatemala seems to block all their projects. Pan America's Escobal has been sitting dormant for the last 5 to 6 years with no action. Bluestone's having a hard time getting their project permitted and up and running. And we just saw a few issues at one of our sponsor companies, Volcanic Gold, on their early stage drilling. So wouldn't you think more countries would look at what Nicaragua is doing, or some of the successful countries, and say, we want this tax money coming in. We want the jobs. We want the foreign investment. And the companies are happy to pay the taxes to pay to play. Wouldn't you think more countries would take that model on of supporting the mining industry to bring in taxes?
Well, you know, if the companies are paying taxes already, it's much easier for politicians to let them continue to produce. But if they're going to start giving taxes 4 years from now or 3 years from now, a lot of politicians are not interested, because they would be helping the next group of politicians, the politicians that come from the next election cycle, to benefit from those taxes. So they have no interest in necessarily permitting companies that will come in the next cycle of elections. So my guess is that, you know, and I'm not a big fan of Nicaragua or Guatemala anyway, but if you are producing good taxes, and if you continue to have a good relationship with politicians, then you continue to stay unharmed as long as you continue paying your taxes.
John, where do you get your news that you use to judge just how healthy or, quite frankly, investable a country is? Because you don't want to listen, I don't think, to management, because management, whatever country they're in, they're going to put a positive spin on it. And I think a lot of newsletter writers, they're extremely biased, too, because they want to be part of a bigger movement. They want to tie into one country and really usually hang their hat on that country, hopefully performing. So I find them also biased. What do you do to filter through all this noise and figure out where actually could be investable?
Well, so again, going back to this Colombian company that I was mentioning, which I don't want to name, they are a company that's producing a good profit for me, and they have a lot of cash in the bank, and they have projects elsewhere as well. And if I ignore completely the value of their Colombian project, I still get an upside in owning that company. And the project that is making money for me is a significantly good amount of money that pretty much justifies the company's valuation by itself. So that is how I look at things. I want to see what is the worst case scenarios with these companies. What happens if I completely lose a certain project? What happens if one thing that I'm most afraid of goes out of existence? Would I still have enough value underpinning my share price. And if I have that, then I'm more than happy to invest in such companies. And if I have an upside with what I'm reasonably confident about, then I am less fearful about investing in them. Now, what happens with the market is that a lot of people start selling their shares without trying to understand that they don't do a valuation on what they look at one aspect of these companies and start selling their shares. And that is where I actually benefit from accumulating those companies and hope that I can make money over the next 6 months or couple of years.
John, I think that's a great point, because while we're focused on jurisdictions in this interview, there's still the team, the project, the ability to execute. There's a lot of things that factor into a valuation, not just the jurisdiction. But I guess just one last thing to maybe touch on is, how important is it for you that when you bring in an expat country, like you have Canadians or Americans or British or Australians working in some of these more exotic, you know, locations, how important is it for them to have the local teams in place that have the political understanding and the support of the communities versus coming in and trying to put their own people in? How do you weigh that at all when you're looking at investing in companies, the spread of their local workers and management versus international?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's extremely crucial. If someone from Canada goes to a new country without really understanding that country properly and thinks that it can make money investing in that company, it isn't going to happen. I want people who are well versed in the local culture and local politics, people who understand and have relationships with local leaders, local native leaders and local politicians. Now, that is not always an honest relationship, but that's something you have to have if you are investing in these countries. And I'm always looking for how good the management that I'm investing in is at implementing projects in those countries.
All right, Giant, thank you for your time on this weekend show. Everybody, thank you for tuning in on this weekend show. As always, you can keep in touch with Shad and I through email. My email is fleck@kereport.com. Shad's is shad@kereport.com. We're going to be back with you early next week, covering a lot of resources, some more macro stuff, and who knows, hopefully a more positive vibe, as this early on in summer has already been really tough for investors, especially the investors in the resource sector, as it has just continued to trend lower. But hey, there are some, I guess, good companies and some good deals for some of these stocks. But again, just been a tough year so far broadly for these markets. Everybody, thanks again for tuning in. Hope you all have a great rest of your week.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.